change, Tracy, and pull up the slide that's going to say, don't lose heart. This week, I just sensed in my spirit of, and this is probably for me, so you guys could all go to sleep. That's okay. I'm just going to speak to myself today because I need encouragement, you know? But it came to my heart this day or this week back and just just being time with God and the things taking place in our country and whatnot, that we can't lose heart. That's the one thing that you can't do. We cannot lose our heart. Amen? And here's what I just want to share a little bit here. Does it seem like in today's world that we can lose heart pretty quickly? Yes. So much is happening. So much is changing. So much seems to be out of control. As we reflect what is happening everywhere at all times of the day or the week or the month, that we come so close to saying this, I give up. I can't go on. I'm tired. I'm overwhelmed. I can't even make an educated guess anymore. Has anybody been there? Probably just me. I know. But the I can'ts need to go. God has not given us that spirit of fear, but He's given us that of a sound mind and a strong body and His word to say that He's here with us through thick and thin. You might be going through thick, and some of you might be going through thin. I don't know. But God is with us, and He says He'll never leave us. So the I can'ts can go on and on and on, but we can't allow that to dictate our life. We can't allow those things to just draw us daily into all of a sudden the week is gone, and it's like you look back and it's like, I didn't accomplish this or that, or I've allowed this to weigh upon me too much. It's in those particular times in our lives that we really need the Word of God in our lives. Do you believe this, that God is not amused at seeing His people struggle? God is not looking at finding and saying, boy, look at that, I'm so glad they're struggling. I'm so glad they're having a hard time. Ooh, this is just great. Now they'll come crawling to me. Our God is not like that. Our God is not amused at seeing His people struggle, His people being depressed, His people living in sickness, His people living in a life of emptiness, His people feeling that all is lost and it doesn't matter anymore. When our lives reach this level, we believe there is no more hope for even us to carry on. And it is sad to see that in so many lives. And I can understand that in the lives of the non-churched people, unchristian, those that don't have any faith. I understand that, don't you? I can understand people out there in the world to the point to where they don't have hope anymore. But it's sad to see some of those same things happening in our churches of people of faith, supposedly, right? People that have God as their God and God as their strength and God as their source and God as their provider and God is doing this for them. It is sad to see that within our churches, that people come into our churches and they feel like, I have no hope. I don't know where to turn. I just don't feel like I can go on. That has got to be changed. That has got to be addressed, and then it's got to be changed. Amen? And we find that through God's Word, that He helps us in those areas. God is not wanting us to live this type of life or feel defeated in our lives. He shares in His Word to not lose heart. This tells me that I must believe that that this is not as good as it gets. You know, sometimes we hear that. Well, I tell you what, this is as good as it gets. Take it. It doesn't get any better than this. We got to get past that. I can have, and God wants me to have, a victorious life here in the now. How about you? And that is for all of us. That's even for those out in the world that are lost. He really wants them to have a victorious life, and it's going to take salvation, and it's going to take, you know, going out and spreading the gospel and sharing the good news, and that's what it's all about as well. But as we are looking at within our churches, we find that we've got to get to ourselves of a level of raising ourselves up through that of God's Word, not our own, because we've got to not lose heart. I talk to, and you see so many people in the day and age that we're in you just throw it out there. I don't, if it's just the world and the country in general, if you look at it in the things of the jobs, if you look at it as the economy, if you look at it as the political arena, you look at it, as sad as it is to say, this past month or so, or this past several, couple of years, of just the aggression and the anger that is out there and the disunity that is within our country. And coming off of the last couple of weeks of, you know, the shootings and all of police officers, and you look at it as a society, like, where are we going from here? You can get to that point of losing heart. You can get to that point to where it's like, oh boy, this is as good as it gets, and just going downhill from here, just cast the bathwater and the baby out with everything. Just forget it. Now, I do realize in God's Word that He speaks about lawlessness and these things will come about. And, you know, I do have to warn you that it's going to get worse than what it is right now. But don't lose heart. It's not going to be an easy life in the years to come. But don't lose heart. If God is your protector, if God is your provider, if you wake up every day to serve Him, if He's on your thoughts, if you're meditating, praying, interceding, doing things of what God wants you to do, He's going to take care of you. Do you believe that? He takes care of you throughout the day. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, I think we owe it to Him, although I owed a debt I could not pay. But I kind of like, God, with all that You've done for me and continue to do for me, I need to give You the best I can do for You. I got to give You as much as I can when I can do it. And when I do it, I want to serve it and I want to give it to You as best, because He deserves it. Jesus did that same thing. As I look at Jesus as a disciple and a follower of Him and what Jesus was all about. You know, back in Jesus' day, it was pretty doom and gloom at times too, wasn't it? Going through the countries and the cities and the things that He was professing to be, and they didn't quite understand the kingdom concept there. I wonder sometimes if the people of today, they don't grasp the kingdom concept, even in 2016, I don't think, that Jesus says that His kingdom is not of this world. But I'm telling you that you can live a kingdom life here in this place, because Jesus says that I've come to give you life and to give you more abundance. And I'm so thankful for that. But it takes our part to say what? Not to lose heart. Now, I want to go to some scriptures here. And where we started out and looking at this was in 2 Corinthians. Yes, 2 Corinthians. I have my note here in 2. Now, as we're getting to that point and turning to 2 Corinthians, what is it behind the meaning of to lose heart? When we hear that phrase, to lose heart, you're looking at something to the point of to stop believing that you can succeed. To lose heart is to lose one's courage. To lose heart is to lose one's confidence. And as we go through this life, praise God, I'm thankful He's got me right where He's got me. You were born and you are here for such a time as this. Do you believe that? Say amen. 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 You're here for that plan and that purpose that God specifically has for you. There's many times I begin to think within myself, like, you know, Lord, I would love to live back in the 50s. I don't know why, the 40s, the 50s, somewhere back there. It seemed like life was so much simpler and easy. It was a harder life, too, probably. But it just seemed back then, from where I'm looking at now, it seemed like it was probably a pretty calm life and things just were happening and, you know, you were out in the country and whatever the case might be. But I'm sure that as I would be brought back to that time frame of 1950, I would probably find problems there. And I would probably say, gosh, I wish I was back in the 1920s. Oh, well, the 1920s, they had problems, you know. Every decade or every time of our generations, multiple generations, we live through a time that there's good and we live through times and there's bad. There's good and bad in all of these time frames. And it's what you focus on, it's what you want to put your thoughts into that you're going to think about, right? I would encourage you to put your thoughts upon God. Put your thoughts upon Jesus, you know, and what he was about and what he's accomplished for us. But as we go into this time of losing heart, it's feeling like you can't succeed, that you lost the courage to keep going on. You don't even have the confidence anymore that it takes to go what you need to do. Sad to say, we see a lot of it happening today, don't we? But it can be changed. Now, as we get into 2 Corinthians, this is the second letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian people. And the first one, you know, he sent, and they didn't really follow along in his apostolic calling and what he was directing them to do. So then he sends a letter, and Titus takes it, and he's going, and he's running with it. And then they meet up, and now he's in Corinth again. But we look at, in 2 Corinthians, just a few areas there to look at. In 1:3-5, he's talking about this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Do you find comfort in knowing that he's the God of all comfort? Who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. We as Christians, we as the faith, we as those that believe Jesus and received him as our Lord, we that follow God, we that confess these things, we need to be that help to those out there. We might need even to be that to our own people within the churches, because some of them have lost courage. Some of them have failed of success and feel that they can't succeed in the things that God has asked. They've lost confidence. We've got to be a help to them as well. But he's sharing here that we are going to help those who comforts us. God comforts us so that we are comfortable, so that we then can help those. Sometimes a scripture that's used in times of a funeral, where God comforts all who comforts us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. You find that sometimes when people are going through a funeral and a family member or a friend, whatever the case might be, that we're there to help and comfort them as well. Tribulation, let me look at that word here. Just keep thinking about that word, tribulation. Tribulation. Pressure, oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. A lot of that sounds really good if you're wanting to make orange juice. You know? Hey, squeeze, squash, crush. Woo! Yeah, orange juice time. But that's our lives as we are under tribulation. Any one of us here today probably could look at that and say, yeah, there's been times I feel crushed. There's times right now that I'm feeling in distress. There's times right now that I'm being squeezed. Those are all things of tribulation. In 2 Corinthians 3, I jump over to 5:6. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from where? God. Our sufficiency is from God. If my sufficiency is from God, I should not have to deal with losing heart. I should be able to focus on these things, deal with these things, and the most important thing is surrendering these things to God. Problem is, a lot of times we hold on to all these things thinking that I can do it, I can fix it, I can change it, I can make a difference. And sometimes you can make a difference, but you can really make a difference if you're walking in the Spirit of God, doing what he's asked you to do, and you will accomplish more than you can do on your own. And that's helping people in their lives. It's to be that light, that salt. It's to be that encourager. It's to be that helper. It's to help people through. I've got comfort. Let me give you some of it. Let me show you my comfort. Where is my comfort? Where does my help come from? My comfort and my help. All of this comes from my God. If we can keep that thought process, we will not lose heart. The church cannot lose heart. We cannot give up. We cannot say it's over. We cannot say this is as good as it gets. Because I'm going to tell you, the world is going to get worse, but the church is going to get better. It can only get better. Because when darkness comes, light shines bright. And the church is that of the light of Christ. Amen? And so as the darkness is out there, hallelujah, you get to be brighter. That's pretty good. We're all going to be pretty bright people. I don't know about academically, but we're going to be bright, you know? So there is a thing, because it talks about where sin abounds, grace abounds greater. Those things are encouragements to us. So I'm going to say, yeah, out in the world, this is probably, it'll get good and bad and good. The whole world's kind of on its little, follow its little graph, you know, good times, bad times, good times, bad times. I think our graph is kind of going like this, but the ultimate overall graph of things, it's going like this, but it's going down. Moralities and the things of our society, the things that are taking place. But I know when things get bad, that's when God can really do magnificent things. So I don't want to lose heart. We get into so much in our country today. Again, I have to refer back, and I know, I tell you what, this is a hot button in churches themselves as far as our presidential race and where things are going. A lot of people in our churches and things of faith, they're just throwing their hands up and they're saying, it's neither good or bad. It's bad or good, or it's bad or worse. What is what? I don't know. I'm going to share that we know already that leaders and those in powerful positions are placed there by who? We think as a society we vote them in. And I'm saying, do your civic duty and vote. But I'm saying that those things and those people, male, female, one side, left side, middle side, all whatever it is, God places people into high positions. In the Word, it says prince and princesses and things like that, or a prince, but we can look at it as our president and leadership and our government and all that. But in God's Word, the one thing He really wants us to do is He wants us to pray for those people. Now, I'm kind of off mark here, and maybe we'll kind of get back there in just a little bit. Maybe I'll bring this up down the road. But the society and where we're at today, it just seems to be so unraveled. So unraveled. But I got to go back, and I've got to tell myself. I've got to read here, and then we're going to find out how do we keep our not losing heart. But I've got to read God's Word and still remain strong and of faith and of courage and of joy. Well, this is all happening, but I can still have joy because the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not to say that we don't pray, and there's times we've all been probably fervently praying. Sometimes those things happen that God wants you to pray, so it's all kinds of interesting things of how He'll get us. But anyway, as we go on losing heart, we looked at our sufficiency is not in ourselves, but through God. 5 through 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 5 through 6. Where I want to get to as we flip over to 4. It says here, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. It is important not to lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It talks about in verse 3, but even our gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who will not believe. But that doesn't mean that we give up. That doesn't mean that we don't keep going on and pressing forward and sharing the good news and sharing all that God wants us to do for those that are still lost. And even in our churches, I don't know as much as, you know, speaking to the world as much as speaking to the people in our churches. Don't give up. Hang in there. It's going to be okay. But as we find this here, that we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Now, Paul went through a lot of stuff. We're not going to have time to go through all that he did, but we know he was, talk about a guy that could be discouraged. Could Paul be discouraged? Everything he did, you know, presenting the gospel, going forth with it. They wanted to throw him into prison, and there's times he was thrown in prison. And then there's talks about, you know, the worst place to put a person that's filled with the Holy Spirit serving God is to put him alone someplace to where he can just really keep in tune to God and start writing the things that God wants you to say and do. Actually, it was kind of backfiring on them. Here we look at Paul thinking like how disastrous that is. That poor guy serving God and being a Christian and doing all these things. I mean, they were just always after him and trying to cut him down and shut him up and put him in prison. But it never stopped. Paul was never disheartened. He never lost heart. It seemed like it got him stronger. And that's where we need to be. We need to be at that point. I need to be stronger when I see these things happening along. I want to be stronger, God. How are we going to do this? Then we get down to 4:8. We are hard-pressed on every side. Anybody here been hard-pressed? That sounds like we're making orange juice again. Yet not crushed, we're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Down in 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, we don't lose heart. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The spirit man, your inner peace, your person inside, the spirit being renewed daily. It's from our light afflictions, which but for a moment is for working for us for a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. As we do these things, as Paul is sharing here. Now, let's see here. I got two pages, two ways of looking at notes here. Let's see where we're at here. So, how can you tell if a person has lost heart? How can you tell? Do you look around at your friends and family and see if they've lost heart? We might see it in the natural that they don't complete the task at hand. They don't fulfill the job totally. They get it halfway done or they don't complete it to the best that they could. They speak in negative terms. Anybody been even with a Christian that speaks in negative terms? I have. They seem to be disconnected. They seem to be withdrawn from the situation or from things in general. That same observation can also be seen in the churches. It can be seen in a person's spiritual walk, where some that were strong in the days gone by have now wavered. They've lost the heart to keep going. They've lost that passion. They don't get involved anymore with the things of God. They step out of it and they step back and they say, I just don't know anymore. I've become discontented. I've been discouraged in these things. And you know, they begin to back off of the things of what God has done for them. We see that in our churches. Let's go to Luke 18. How do we handle this? How do we get back to this? What is the antidote? How do I get there, Lord? Let's go to Luke 18. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying that there is a certain city, a judge, who do not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me, or makes me weary. Then the Lord says this, hear what the unjust judge said. In verse 7, Luke 18:7, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What is the point of that whole thing? Is looking at this. Who here cries out day and night for the things going on in our society? Who cries out day and night for the things taking place in our churches? Who cries out for God to have his way in these situations, or to turn them over, or to change the direction, or to do whatever? That is through what? Prayer. 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 Nothing else? Prayer. Don't know what to do? Pray. can't do anything physically or financially about the situation, pray. You're not there physically to take care of it. You're across the continent. You're across town. What can you do? Pray. Prayer is a very vital and a very meaningful and a very powerful tool, if that's what you want to call it, that God has given us because he hears our prayers. And as we intercede, he has told us in Chronicles about praying for your leaders, praying for your kings, praying for these individuals if you desire to lead a peaceful life. Now here's something. That's 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry, pray for your nation. I was Timothy talking about that. I think if I can go there. Let's see. Pardon? 1 Timothy. Okay, here we go. Let's see, where is it? 1 or 2 Timothy? Okay, I was back bypassed. I'm sorry. Here we go. I have my note. Oh, no wonder. I have my note over it. Okay, in 1 Timothy where it says, therefore, 1 Timothy the 2nd chapter, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, and it goes on and on. I want to get back to that for just a second. But we find out that prayer does what? We find that prayer will encourage steadfastness and guards against our disheartenedness. We find that in the scripture that we just read in Luke about how, you know, being strong to remain in the things of Christ and to what's taking place and in the heavenlies. And it's all basically, as we have learned already, it's God's timing is his timing. And he does things that's only going to supply or to work towards the timing that he has placed from the very foundations of this earth. So I find that to not lose heart, I've got to pray. You know, no matter what struggles I'm going through, no matter how I feel like it's a loss and I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything, I have got to remain faithful and I've got to keep praying for these issues and things that I'm aware of. We have a wonderful time Wednesday nights for prayer out here from 6:15 to 7:30, 7:45, sometimes 8 o'clock. It just depends. But the times of prayer and the things that are discussed and the things that are brought forth, this last Wednesday I felt was just powerful. Had a lot of conversation from 6:15 to probably like 7:05-ish or 7:10. But then we leveled into a time of just praying, and there was, I felt, just a power of prayer going forth for this nation, for the country, maybe even also for churches in our community, for the Spirit of God to flow, to pour out his Spirit. That's what the other churches and the pastors that I get with on a weekly basis in Janesville and all, that's what our prayer is as pastors, that we begin to see this outpouring of God's Spirit. The fire, the wind, you know, whatever you want to call it. We just want his presence to come in and to come into this town in such a way that we know that he's here. And as more and more churches, as more and more people cry out, as more and more individuals do these things, the Lord hears the cries of his people. And when it's just right, and as man, we may not have everything totally lined up that we totally need to be totally in, you know, it's going to work. But I think God sees the hearts of the people and he hears the cries of his people. And he says, I'm going to come. And I'm going to lay out my presence upon that place. For a while, for a season, for a day. I just want his presence. You know, for that presence of God to come. Now, as we got into some of these things and looking at this, and I picked this up at another place that I was at, but in 1 Timothy, it really made me sit back and I really had to look at myself. Because I felt like I was kind of not doing what I was supposed to be doing. Oh, I've prayed. I've prayed for that leadership of our country. I've prayed for the leadership of our state or our city. We pray for all these in authority and people that we are under kind of like their power of what they're doing and leadership. I've prayed for them. I feel like when I go in supplication, I think I've done that. I've had prayers for them. I've interceded for them. And it wasn't until a couple of weeks back in a meeting that I was at, and I began to read this, and this lady brought this up. And I always kind of skipped over that last part of that, giving thanks be made for all men. Giving thanks be made for all men. I don't know where you're at politically, and it's between you and wherever, in God. But whether it's the current president, the past president, five presidents back, whatever the case might be, I've felt within myself, I've always felt comfortable with God saying, I've prayed for that office. I've prayed for that leadership. I've prayed for salvation for those in our government that don't have Christ. I've lifted them up. I've prayed for boldness for those that are of faith, to have boldness in our government to bring forth your morals and your values, God. I've been praying all these things. Then it wasn't until a couple of weeks back when it looks at here and I go, but and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I go, oh my Lord, have I ever given you thanks for President Reagan, President Clinton, President Bush, President, Jimmy Carter? Well, Jimmy Carter, I was really young back in those days, but wasn't really tied into things of God in the 70s. But even now to our current president, President Obama, have I really thanked you, God, for putting him in that office? I stand before you and I say, I don't think I did. I didn't thank God. Because remember, God's word says he places people into these places. That I need to thank him for putting that person in there. That's what I read, and I could be totally off base on this, but the Spirit just hit me like, you've got to be thanking God for what he does. Do we not thank him, Lord? Thank you for the job you brought to me. Thank you for the finances you brought to me. Thank you for the good health you've brought to me. We thank and thank and thank him for all of these things. And it just went over my head all of these years that no matter who is in that high office of our country, thank you, Lord, for putting that man or that woman in that office. And I pray for their salvation. I pray for them to hear from you. I pray for their spirit to be hooked up to you. Father, I just ask you to come and fill that place. A lot of our things of today where we see of losing heart, we feel like there's nothing happening. It's all gone. There's no way that we can recapture these things. I believe the area that we can get to gain our heart back and to be strong in the things of God and to not to be, oh, woe is me, the sky is falling, the doom and the gloom of where we're at, but I can step up and I can even become more of a prayer and pray for even more things that I have not done in the past to be able to, just what it said in back in Luke, the judge, he just did it because he got tired of this woman bothering him all the time. Okay, I'm just going to do it just to shut her up. That's the way we need to be with God, to say we just need to keep petitioning these prayers. We just need to keep coming to him. And you know what? He's wanting us to do that. He's saying, I've been waiting for my people to pray. I've been waiting for them to raise up these things to me. I've been waiting for them to say, Lord, we only need you and nothing else. And it's only going to be by your power that things are going to change. I know he uses men and women. Look at our churches. Look at you here today. You're his voice. You're his hands. You're his feet in this earth today, aren't you? As we go out, that's what it's all about. He speaks through us. If our spirit is hooked up to him and we say, Lord, not my way, but your way. Lord, come and speak to these people. Lord, hallelujah. Let me just be a voice of you, Father God. And that the people can hear. So he wants that from all of us, to pray for these situations around us. And to pray for situations. Now the thing is, sometimes we only pray when it affects us personally. Everything else is okay. Oh, There's nothing else. I prayed for all my family, my job, my this, my that. Hey, it's all done. I'm done. I'm good. Hallelujah. As the Spirit leads you, as the Spirit puts it in you, as your spirit picks up on these things in the Spirit, that the all of a sudden, boom, you pray for your local area, then boom, all of a sudden you're praying for somebody over in a foreign country. Boom, you're praying for your home again. You're praying for your churches in your city here. Then all of a sudden, boom, in your spirit, something comes up and says, pray for those in that faraway land of that tidal wave that just happened, or that earthquake, or whatever the case might be, or the fires out west, or anything and everything. And that's what I've been enjoying with our Wednesday nights, is that we kind of get in there and we kind of disconnect from, let's pray this, 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 this. Now we can go home. We've done our Christian duty. To where we get in there and we share some conversation. We read some scriptures. We use whatever it is that the Lord is asking us to do that night. And then we say, well, let's just start praying. And you just start flowing. Sometimes you don't even have to say a whole lot. You just meditate and just thank Him. Worship Him. Praise Him. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. You're in control. Thank You, Father, for this time that we're here tonight. And if nothing else comes out of this tonight, Lord, we just want to say we love You, we thank You, we praise You, we worship You, and You're our God. If we can continue on those type paths, I don't see how we can lose heart. If we stay that close to God by that of prayer, meditation, His Word, seeing what He says in a case and how to take care of things, I don't see how I can lose heart. I don't see how I can be depressed. I don't see how I can be discouraged. I don't see how I can say, oh, it's no good. It's just all going to happen. Don't do anything about it. We are here for a plan and a purpose of God. I don't think I've heard in God's Word retreat. All the things I see in God's Word in the Old Testament when they were taking over different areas and the Israelites were coming and He was part of their team and they were following Him, every place they went, they had what? Victory. 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 The land is theirs for you to take. The enemy is there. That will be gone. You will have control over that. Oh, they might have 5,000 and you've got 500, but you will be victorious because the Lord thy God goes before you. You might be going into battle. You don't need spears and ammo. You just send out the praisers ahead of you. Okay, let's just praise as we march into this city that looks like it's going to overtake us. But we don't understand in the spiritual realm. And remember, that's what our battle is against. The Word says it's not that we're battling the flesh. We're battling spiritual battles, the heavenlies and those things. And that's where we got to keep our prayers, into that spiritual realm, that God has the way, that God has His way. He's already orchestrated. He's got it divinely prepared. We just say, Lord, bring it into being. Is it now? Is it this time? Is it for now? Is this the season? Bring it, Father God. Hallelujah. But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Be strong. And know that Father God loves you, has your back, has your front, your sides. He's everywhere. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. I thank You for the words of encouragement, Lord. And Father, as we go forth, not just today, but all the days ahead, may we as a church not lose heart. May we as individuals not lose heart. That, Father, that when we see discouragement, when we become confused or disconnected from situations, Lord, let us remember to, first of all, pray and ask for Your strength, ask for Your direction, ask for Your divine way to take care of these things, Lord. And may we always walk in Your strength, not our strength. May we always do what You want us to do. As Jesus said, I do not do or I do not say, but what I hear or see the Father do or say. And all that I do, I bring honor and glory to Him. That's what Jesus did. And Father, we want to do that same thing with us, to where we honor You, we glorify You, we just raise You up before the people that we have contact with. We thank You now, Lord. Continue to be with us. We thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.